Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. It's not Sunday, it's Monday, because yesterday I was a little under the weather. A little bit of a cold, a little bit of a cough. Still have it. A little bit better today, so hopefully we'll get through without too many coughs. So I apologize ahead of time if you're running or walking or have your earbuds in and you hear a hacking cough. My apologies. The great Tim McLeod has the day off. He had a wonderful sounding weekend with Tout Wars. I've only exchanged text messages with him. Tout Wars draft. He was in the mixed auction. And if you go out to toutwars.com, you can see everybody he drafted. It was pretty much the guys that you think: Jose Abreu, Aaron Sanchez, Taijuan Walker, Trevor Bauer. He got the guys that he won. Nomar Mazara, he got all his guys, and he got a guy for me. He actually drafted Ahmed Rosario, and of course, I told him it was be his best player on his team. So we'll catch up with Tim probably on Sunday, where we'll talk sleepers. Tonight we're going to be talking impact rookies, those AL and NL rookies that I think will have an impact this year. So hopefully this will help you in your final preparations for your draft, or as you're thinking about going into the start of your fab, or if you're just, you know, can pick guys up off the waiver wire. Before we get started, if you want to get a hold of me, it's at Rich Wilson P361, at Rich Wilson P361. Of course, you get the great Tim McLeod at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC. Of course, if you want to support the show, you can go out and rate and review us out on iTunes or Stitcher. Or you can go visit one of our sponsors. We have three sponsors going on. One is StubHub. We don't get any, you don't get a discount for that. But if you click on that link and buy baseball tickets, football tickets, basketball tickets, dancing on ice tickets, we get a little bit of a revenue share with them. We appreciate if you do that. Also, MLB shops. Go out and get your MLB paraphernalia. You get a 15% discount for that. And also a 15% discount for Steiner Sports. If you're ever in need of collectibles. So we appreciate going out to prospect361.com, simply clicking on those links. You'll see them along the right-hand side on our affiliated links. Appreciate you guys doing that. I can't believe it. We're a little over a week to go before the real games start. It starts on Thursday this year. I hope you guys are ready. We usually start that one game, or actually last year was three games on Sunday afternoon, and Sunday evening before everything started on Monday. Now it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's opening weekend, they're calling it. We're back to the classic. I think everything starts on that Thursday. I don't believe there's any Wednesday game. I'll be doing my traditional hot dogs and Dairy Queen Blizzard. And it's a tradition of mine for many, many years. Totally fattening. Always have indigestion when it's over, but it's a great time watching baseball. I think I'm actually late in the day. I'm going to drive out to our beach house and spend Easter weekend there. So I'll miss a couple of the afternoon games, but back at it in the evening. Spring training seems to be going well. We're seeing a lot of the rookies that many of you thought might stay up all of a sudden getting taken down. Ronald Acuna was a guy that, you know, many people thought, well, gee, he's having such a great spring. Clearly, the Atlanta Braves will keep him up. We talked about it from day one. Not going to happen. Too valuable of a player. And here's the deal. If you stay down in the minor leagues 12 days, it works off of 181-day season. Actually, it's 173 days of service time. Less than 173 days of service time, you get an extra year of team control. The way it works with the current collective bargaining agreement, you get 6 years of team control, three non-ARB years. So there's a prescribed salary that you get. It's like $500 to $550 to $600,000. Then you go into arbitration eligibility for years 4, 5, and 6. However, if you get 6 years plus 173 days, you get that extra seventh year of team control. So it's then 3 years of team control of non-arbitration years. Again, 500, 550, 600 is a salary. Then 4 years of arbitration. And that's the Chris Bryant. That's what they did with him a couple of years ago when they kept him down till April 15th or 16th, whenever the start of the season, they kept them down for those 12 days, and he was up and up to stay. My guess is that's what happens with Ronald Acuna. What some teams will do is there's something called Super 2 eligibility. Many of you know this, but for those of you who don't, if you then stay down for, if you're in that top 20% of players, then you do get 3 years of arbitration. But if you're in the bottom 80% of the players, you get, your top 20% of the players, you get the 4 years of arbitration eligibility. If you're in the bottom 80%, called a Super 2 status, then you get only 3 years of arbitration. So in that case, the team can hold you hostage for 4 years at roughly $500,000 before you enter arbitration for those last 3 years. If you're promoted before roughly the time, usually is around the middle of June, then you get that extra year of arbitration. So in Ronald Acuna's case, he'll likely be promoted sometime the latter part of April, just like Chris Bryant. They will not save the extra money of having only 3 years of arbitration. So they'll go with the fourth year of arbitration, but they do get 7 years of team control. Very, very important. So all teams want to have that seventh year of team control, unless the kid's 25 or 26, then what the heck, bring him up. But when you're 21, 22 years old, it's a big difference hitting arbitration at, free agency at 28, 29, as opposed to 27. And all of a sudden then you become Manny Machado, and you know, it just becomes very, very advantageous for the player, but the clubs get to keep them 1 year longer. And, you know, that's what it's all about. When it gets down to it, it is a math problem with professional sports, particularly baseball, and you have to play by these rules. So this is why Ronald Acuna will likely not be here until the latter part of April. If May 1st he's still down, then you do have to worry that maybe they're going to play the Super 2 arbitration game. I don't see it in his case. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Then again, the Braves aren't very good, so why promote him before he's ready? You can make that argument as well. Something tells me, based on the year he had last year and based on what he has done this spring, and again, spring training, you can always, you know, always got to take it with a grain of salt, but here it is, 52 plate appearances, 4 home runs, 4 stolen bases, batting .432 with a slug of .727. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Again, very, very limited sample size, but he's done nothing but simply hit all last year. And again, Arizona Fall League, and again, in spring. So why don't we just keep with the National League since we started talking about Ronald Acuna. So let me scroll up here on my site. And you want to go out to Prospect 361. We have written about the impact rookies, both the NL and AL. It does look like Ryan McMahon will get the start at first base. And many of you know that I made the call about 4 months ago that if there was a guy who I saw as a Cody Bellinger, a kid who had massive raw power, could hit, and wasn't the Ronald Acunas of the world, who everybody knew, and he's going high in drafts. It was Ryan McMahon, and I think Ryan McMahon's got a chance to hit 30 home runs. Yes, he's a rookie. Yes, you know, rookies can be very inconsistent, but I've seen the power. The kid can actually hit, get on base. So I can see him doing a 30-plus home runs, .260 batting average with a bunch of RBIs. He'll probably hit pretty deep down into the lineup just because the Rockies lineup is pretty stacked. But I really like the kid, and I think it's time for him to be up. I think he gets at least most of the bats, or at least from the right side against, right-handed pitching. I think he at least gets those at bats. He might spend a little time with Ian Desmond, but I think it's going to be his, and I think there's going to be goodness there. Lewis Brinson has been on my list. He's been one of my favorites for quite a while. He is actually playing extremely well in spring training here. So 45 plate appearances. Let's see, it's 5 home runs, I believe. Now I'm looking at MLB.com has got this new thing where you could just kind of look at all the different stats by teams of minor leaguers, top 100 players, all 900 prospects that they list. It's actually quite good. The problem is I'm trying to scroll down and get the columns remembered, and it doesn't do a very good job of that. So let's see. Lewis Brinson, there it is. He's only got one home run, but it looks like he is batting .366 with a .585 slug. So he's had a really nice spring. And by all accounts, he will start the year for the Miami Marlins. In fact, there's talk of him hitting leadoff. The kid has got plus speed. He's not a double plus speed guy. I don't really see him as a leadoff bat just because I think there's going to be plenty of strikeouts there. And he's not an on-base percentage guy. So he could bat 250, 260 with kind of a 320, 330 on-base percentage. You'd like to have a little bit better than that at your leadoff position. But I guess the old saying goes, beggars can't be choosers with the Miami Marlins. So I think Lewis Brinson should be drafted on an all team. I definitely think he's a guy that's going to get the at-bats. And I think there's power and speed there. I would be not surprised to see him with a combination of home runs and stolen bases somewhere between 35 and 40. You have your pick in terms of whether he hits more home runs or more stolen bases. I think batting leadoff, there might be a few more stolen bases in the bunch as opposed to home runs. But a kid that, we know his warts. We know his penchant to strike out, but there's a lot of goodness there. Next guy I have on my list is somebody that you might be a little surprised at, and that's Colin Moran. Colin Moran grew up in the originally drafted by St. Louis. I can't remember who he was originally drafted by. Spent time in the Miami Marlins organization, obviously the Houston Astros organization, because Houston just traded him to Pittsburgh. And a kid that could always handle the bat well, always a high batting average guy, makes really good contact, but didn't have any power. That power has come as he has learned to add leverage to a swing. And we're seeing more and more of that, particularly up at the major league level, but we're seeing more and more of that. And Colin Moran, I would not be surprised if you're looking at 20 home run power there, 80 RBIs, and a high batting average. I really like Colin Moran. And from all accounts, again, doing it again this spring, and I think it's great because it's a guy that really struggled for early part of his minor league career, but has started to put it together. So I think he's a guy that, again, another kid that should be owned in all fantasy leagues. A kid that Tim McLeod drafted on his Toutwars team is Brian Anderson. Many of you might not have heard of Brian Anderson, third baseman with the Miami Marlins. Going to get the playing time, that's for sure. Definitely has power, will swing and miss a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at 25-plus home runs with plenty of RBIs. And I know Marlins don't have a good team, but they will score some runs. And I think he'll be in the mix for some RBIs. But you could see him batting .240, .250. My top pitcher on the list is not Walker Buehler. It's not Brandon Woodruff, who are much better pitchers than Tyler Mahle, who is my number one pitcher with the Cincinnati Reds. As you guys know, a couple of years ago, I may have been the first person who mentioned Tyler Mahle's name. And you know, I hate to be that guy who sticks out his chest and brags a little bit, but I'm going to stick out my chest and brag a little bit because I had a chance to see him when I was on one of my scouting trips. And the guy threw nothing but strikes, through 93, 94 miles an hour. So didn't have that electric fastball, but just knew how to pitch. And I mean, I just fell in love with this kid, drafted him every one of my dynasty leagues. And he had a pretty good run in the major leagues last year. Nice little debut at the end of the season. And he's going to get starts. He's already been named to the starting rotation. And I think there's a really good chance he gets 25-plus starts for the Cincinnati Reds, assuming he's healthy. And with that, you know, you're looking at 160 innings pitch. He could probably strike out 140-plus batters. And I think pitch to a league average ERA, let's call it 380, 390 type of thing, with, you know, a handful of wins, it's called 11 to 12. So you're going, well, Wilson, that's – I don't want that guy on my team. If you're in a 10-team league, yeah, you don't want that guy. But if you're in a 15-team league, you need guys like that on your team, not stars, but somebody who's going to be very, very serviceable as a number four, number five starter, and you can get him dirt cheap in a fantasy draft. So I would consider Tyler Mahle as a guy just because you know he's going to get the innings. And don't be surprised if I'm a little low on that ERA because, again, he doesn't walk anybody. So while his WHIP might be a little high because he will give up hits and some runs, he's not going to give up the big three-run home run because he's just not going to put guys on base. The guy with all of the upside from a pitching standpoint is Walker Buehler. Tim might actually have him on the Stout Wars team with the Dodgers. Walker Buehler, I think, has already been pushed down to the minors, so he will start in the minor leagues. There's really no room at the end for him in Dodgerland. But as Tim and I have talked numerous times on this very podcast, the Dodgers get hurt all the time, and Walker Buehler will get his chance, assuming he stays healthy. He's a kid with an electric fastball, really good secondary pitches, very good control. I call it above average, maybe control. Learning to command his pitches a lot better. Again, control his ability to throw strikes, command his ability to throw quality strikes. In other words, hit the pitcher's mitt. A lot of guys can throw strikes, but they don't really, you know, you're off by 3 inches is a difference between, you know, a ground out versus a two-run home run. And that's usually the last thing to come is the ability to really have pinpoint control, otherwise known as command. So Buehler is working on that. But I think he gets, you know, 20, 25 starts, and I think it's going to be very, very good starts. A guy who flies under the radar is Brandon Woodruff. With the injuries there, don't be surprised if he gets a lot of starts with the Milwaukee Brewers. He doesn't have a top of the rotation stuff. He's a solid number three, number four starter. But he's better than you think. And I wish he pitched in a slightly better ballpark than he does up in Brewerland, but it is what it is. So another guy to consider. Luis Guerrero has already sprained his ankle. He's probably going to start the year on the DL. A kid I like a lot, a lefty with Atlanta, a kid from Brazil who's just getting better and better. So he's a guy that I probably wouldn't be drafting in most leagues, but somebody that I would definitely consider as we get into, you know, kind of the first fab runs. And I'm sure Tim will have him on his waiver wire picks fairly early on. The first catcher on the list is Jorge Alfaro. From all accounts, he's going to get a chance to start out of the gate for the Philadelphia Phillies. Guy has crazy tools, crazy raw power, a hose for an arm, an okay pitch framer. But he never walks. I mean, he's up there hacking. So if there's one thing that's going to limit him, it's just his ability to get on base. So you could be looking at a guy that can hit 15 to 18 home runs, but will also bat 230, 240. So that's the worry with Jorge Alfaro. Does have a little bit of speed. I don't think he'll steal a lot of bases. But, I mean, I think he could have a potentially not a below average batting average of balls in play, which you see a lot with catchers. But he's a guy we've been waiting on for a long, long time. And Jorge Alfaro should finally get his chance to show his stuff. Grew up in the Texas Rangers organization, kind of came over as part of that Hamill trade 2 years ago, I believe it was. So it's funny, Cole Hamels is still with the Rangers at the end of his career. And some of these guys he was traded for are just starting to get promoted. Always fascinating for that. Nick Senzel has already been demoted. This kid can really, really hit. And if there's somebody who's a little Alex Bregman, it's Nick Senzel for me. I think this kid is going to hit. He's got some power. He's got some speed. A nice little player that, again, they just signed a third baseman to tie him up for a while. So Nick Senzel might be down in the minor leagues working on second base. They're looking to push him to shortstop. I don't think he's a shortstop. So it might be a guy that they're trying to look at other positions that he said that when he does come up, he's got a chance to play. Now, it's a kid I think we don't see at the end of April, but I think is a guy that's destined to be up probably mid-season, so he will avoid Super 2 status. So that will be a guy, just because there is some need for him to get some more at-bats in the minor leagues. There's a need for him to switch position to get off third base, to give him some position eligible flexibility. That, I think, is legitimate to keep him down in the minor leagues for a while. The next person on the list is Alex Reyes. I think we've all talked about Alex Reyes. He won't be up until probably May, maybe even June. Likely to come up in the bullpen. The question that I posed a couple of weeks ago, will he pitch so well out of the bullpen that maybe he becomes the answer at the back of the bullpen for the Cardinals long term? I think it's something to consider and something that, you know, does make a lot of sense to me. He's got a special arm, though, so I hope that's not the case. I am a Alex Reyes owner in one of my dynasty leagues. I would love to see him start long term. I still think he does, but I think there's a non-zero chance that he pitches so well in the bullpen, he could turn into a Roldis Chapman type of asset where he's just got premium heat, premium stuff, and this just lights out at the back of the bullpen. The last guy on the kind of list that I think will come up is Max Fried. Again, lefty with the Atlanta Braves. Not the highest ceiling guy on this list, but he can pitch. He's a lefty. I think he's going to have a long career. And a guy that I think you'll see a lot of this year, and somebody that I would consider pretty early on during the fab time. The next group are just players who need a break. Scott Kingery needs a break. He got Cesar Hernandez in front of him. J.P. Crawford might start the year in the minor leagues, but that's a duo that I think you're going to see at some time this year. And again, I've always liked J.P. Crawford a little bit more from a baseball standpoint. But Scott Kingery has really fantasy-friendly tools. So you could see him come up and show some power, show some speed. The kid can hit. The only thing that worries me was he did all of this last year, and it was really the first year he did it. Second half of 2016, there was a bit of a breakout. But it was really last year was the first year that he really did what he did. Also, and just needs a break, Austin Meadows. It just seems like Austin Meadows is getting lost in the Pittsburgh organization. They've now brought in Corey Dickerson. When does Austin Meadows get a chance? Is it this year? I think it is. I think the kid can play. Gregory Polanco, by the way, having a great spring. I'm hoping, I haven't seen any of his games. I'm hoping that that Hitch is getting out of his swing because, boy, the talent is there, and it'd be good to see him really, really break out. But I like Austin Meadows a lot, and I still like it. Had a terrible year last year, but here's a kid that just needs a break. Alex Verdugo, now that there's Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp's going to get a lot of playing time, guys. I think there's a lot to like with what's going on with Matt Kemp this spring. It's not the stat line he's putting up. It's the fact that he looks better. I mean, he's lost significant weight. He's moving better. No one ever questioned the talent. People question the makeup. People question the motivation, the dedication. No one ever questioned the talent of Matt Kemp. And if we see a more motivated Matt Kemp, even though he's a little long in the tooth at 33 years old, I believe, I think there's something there. Now, again, I say this now as an owner of Matt Kemp. I did trade for him. So now a little bit more wishful thinking. But if he flops the first 2 or 3 weeks of the year, then it's yet another example of getting screwed over by, you know, a good spring, which we see all the time. But something tells me, based on what we're seeing, particularly with how well he came into shape, I think there's something there this year. But Alex Verdugo needs a break, and he's just not going to get it at the moment with everybody who's in front of him. Luis Urias is a kid that shortstop with San Diego, a hit tool, a guy with a really premium hit tool. The fantasy skills aren't the best. There's not a ton of power. There's not a ton of speed, probably more power than speed long term as he fills out. But he could hit 12 to 15 home runs. It's not going to be this year. I think you will see him second half of this year. Nice little player. Don't know if I'd be running out to add him on my fantasy as soon as he's brought up, because I just think that the fantasy-friendly tools are not there. When I say fantasy-friendly, not a plus runner, not a plus power guy. So that's when I say not fantasy-friendly tools. Carson Kelly might be on this list for the next 5 years. Nice little catcher, probably a guy who could start, get the principal playing time in the major leagues. But until something happens to Yadier Molina, Carson Kelly is going to be a second catcher, going to be a backup catcher in the major leagues, or will stay in the minor leagues until something frees up. Brett Phillips, I've always liked Brett Phillips. A kid can hit. The kid's got great makeup, really good outfielder, too. A great arm, can play center, can play right. Again, a kid that doesn't have a ton of power, a ton of speed, but somebody I think is just going to be a very, very nice player. A Josh Reddick type guy, maybe with a little less power, but maybe Josh Reddick earlier in his career. The problem is the Milwaukee Brewers have six or seven deep in the outfield. And, at this juncture, he's probably a fourth or fifth outfielder. He's starting to get old, so they might just bring him up just to give him some service time up there. But he's going to be fantasy irrelevant until he gets traded, which I think is a good chance. If the Brewers are good this year, you could see him getting traded midseason at the trading deadline. Then all of a sudden, I think he gets a lot more interesting. My three sleepers are all pitchers. Colby Allard, not the highest upside pitcher in the Braves organization, but a kid who can really, really pitch. I know he's well thought of, so you could say, well, he's really not a sleeper. But I do think if the Braves are better than they think, and again, Ronald Acuna coming up, all of a sudden, that team starts to look a little bit better. They get some pitching maybe, with some of the guys that have shown some promise here in spring training. All of a sudden, the Braves could be a 500 team, and, they could start to promote some of these guys to see what's going on there. Dylan Peters has already been demoted. I was a little disappointed in that with Miami Marlins. They need starts. This is not a top-of-the-rotation guy. He's always had a very successful minor league career, ERA of 2.40. Of course, he got his chance last year, pitched okay at times, but wound up posting a 5-plus ERA, so obviously got to improve there. But I think you see him fairly shortly. The guy I might be adding, I do own him on a number of dynasty leagues. I'm trying to hold on to him if I can. I do have roster crunches in a lot of those leagues. I'm trying to hold on to him. But guy I like. And so keep an eye on him. Put him down. Etch him down on your kitchen table, as the great Lenny Melnick would say. The last guy is a lefty with San Diego, Joey Lucchese. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I actually have never heard an announcer say his name. I write that in the write-ups that I wrote when I wrote about the San Diego Padres. I said he's a guy that I would not think you're settling for if you missed out on all the great pitching prospects, the Michael Baez's, the Cal Quantrill, who's actually had a pretty tough spring, and others, the young lefty who was drafted, Gore. Those are clearly top of the rotation guys. But Luis Lucchese can pitch, man. And he's one of those guys that might sneak up midseason, and nobody is thinking about him, and you go out and grab him, and he pitches really, really well. Again, not top of the rotation stuff, but throw strikes, knows how to pitch, and you like those kind of players. And so I think there's definitely something there. Hopefully you're enjoying this. I'm going to take a quick break, get something to drink. I've been drinking and coughing as we've been going along. Hopefully you guys have not been hearing that as I've been switching out to cough a little bit. But when we get back, we're going to move over to the AL. Everybody, you're listening to Prospect 361 Fantasy Baseball Live. I'm Rich Wilson. I'm here solo, coughing a little bit as I've got a bit of a head cold. And we are going through the impact rookies. We've just done the NL. Now we're going to move over to the AL. And again, I know if Tim were here, he'd tell me, Rich, there's nothing to worry about. It's all good. Blah, 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 blah. And I get it, Tim. Tim's a better fantasy baseball player than me. But I got to tell you, I am worried about Shohei Ohtani. He has looked terrible this spring. Again, the 9 strikeouts, 3 walks, you like that. But, man, he's given up 15 runs, I think. It's crazy. And, look, this kid's a young kid, 23 years old, did not pitch much last year. So he's really had a long layoff. There's rust there. He's moving from the Japanese MPB, which is, some people say AAA kind of level of a league, maybe the Miami Marlins kind of major league team. That's a little unfair, but it's not the same quality as Major League Baseball. And I think he's going to struggle. I'm really beginning to question. I thought I was so smart trading Michael Kopech for Shohei Ohtani to take the number one pick in one of my dynasty leagues. And the more I think about that, the more I'm thinking that's not a bad trade that guy made. And, again, for where I am, defending champ, it was the right move for me to make. But I'm not going to start Shohei Ohtani to begin the season. I'm not going to do it. I want to see him perform in the major leagues a little bit. You know, he's only going to pitch once a week every 6 days. That's a little bit of a disadvantage. So for those of you who maybe took an early – pick on him, and again, I throw myself in that camp, trade it for him. I have him on my team. I'm sitting him. I'm sorry. Call me crazy. I'm sitting him. I'm not going to start him until I see going on. Now, if they're playing a crummy team, which is half the teams in baseball, maybe, I will throw him out there. But if they're playing the Houston Astros, not a chance in hell I'm throwing Shohei Ohtani out there. Just not going to do it. Texas Rangers at Texas, not going to do it. Oakland A's, probably throw him against the Oakland A's. I might feel a little bit better with him at the Oakland A's, particularly at night in the Coliseum or anytime playing in Los Angeles. But I'm going to be very careful, particularly early on with Ohtani, because I'm just not convinced. As a bat, let's see, got 2 hits. He looks overmatched. I've seen a couple of at-bats of his. Again, it's hard to see it on the television, but boy, he is stiff up there. He's the bat is pretty quick. I will again, on television, the bat speed looks pretty good, but it's long, and man, he's a stiff setup. I think there's a long way to go. I'm looking at 28 plate appearances, 2 hits. He has 2 hits. So, I think there's a long way to go with Ohtani. And again, I'm just going to repeat, he will be on my bench to begin the year. Willie Calhoun, I have as my kind of sleeper for rookie of the year. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. He's starting in the minor leagues, which I'm really disappointed in. I thought Texas would start him, but he is not going to break camp, and he is going to start up later in the year. I still think we see considerable time. This guy can hit. There's some little bit of speed. I think he'll steal a handful of bases, but he's a bat and not a great defender anywhere. I think Texas is just going to have to come to grips with that, that he's not a great defender, and throw him out there somewhere. Maybe have him partial DH. DHs are usually not full-time DHs anymore, but a partial DH guy, and just play him second base, left field, and get him in there for his, put him out there for his at-bats. The next guy on the list is Gleyber Torres. I just don't know, guys. I I think he's going to start the league, the year of the minor leagues. I really do. Let's see how he's actually done this year. Gleyber Torres, 28 plate appearances, no home runs, no stolen bases, batting 160. Not good. Slugging 240 with an on-base percentage of 250, OPS 490. Not having a great start to the season. Victor Robles. I didn't talk about Victor Robles as a possible NL guy. I'm sorry I missed him. He's here on this list as I'm looking at the stat lines. Love, 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 love Victor Robles. I know everybody says I'm crazy. They think they'll get some time in the major leagues this year. I think it's going to take an injury, and it could be Michael Taylor, but there's just no room for him out there, and I love the player. But I think he starts the season in the minor leagues. I think Gleyber Torres starts the year in the minor leagues, and I think it is some combination of Neil Walk, Brandon Drury, and Mikel Andujar. And don't be surprised if it's Neil Walker by the second week of the season, and Michael Andujar is struggling to get at bats. I think that would be very, very disappointing. But something just tells me that the Yankees don't think he's ready, and he's had a very, very good spring. At least I believe he's had a good spring. So I'm looking Andujar. Let's see. Batting well, 262. OPS of 916, again, only 44 plate appearances, 10 strikeouts and one walk. So that's not great. But, I think they're going to go with the veterans. That's just what my gut says. I have no inside knowledge on that. Some inside knowledge I do have is on Dustin Fowler, which, talking about the Yankees, grew up as a Yankee, traded in that Sonny Gray deal. And I write on Prospect 361, don't forget about Dustin Fowler. Don't forget about Dustin Fowler. And I think I put in here, he is my sleeper for AL Rookie of the Year. I think I said somebody else's sleeper, Willie Calhoun. I say with a little bit of speed, a little bit of pop, he's my sleeper for AL Rookie of the Year. I like Dustin Fowler a lot. He has gone very, very late in drafts, if at all in drafts. If you still have a draft left, draft him at the end. Trust me, thank me later. Austin Hayes has not been demoted yet, at least that's my understanding. I think he gets considerable playing time. I do like the player a lot. He can really hit. There's more power than you think. And I think he has a chance to be an impact performer. Francisco Mejia, Indians have a history, a long history, of keeping guys down for a while. Lindor, they kept down for 2 months, and then Bradley Zimmer, they kept down for 6 weeks last year. So I think you're talking end of May, at least for Francisco Mejia, to see Cleveland. But I think he's going to hit, and I think he's going to hit very quickly once he is called. Tim has A.J. Puck on every one of his teams. I am convinced. I know he has him on Pat Wars. He has him on Labor. Tim is all in. A.J. Puck, for those of you who don't know, plays for the Oakland Athletics. He was probably the best pitcher in spring training for the A's. They've already demoted him, so it's at least going to be 7 years of team control. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's Super 2 status for him, so you won't see him till the middle of June. This guy's going to be pretty good when he comes up. I think better than when Sean Manaea came up. He's a better pitcher. There's a kid I didn't like when he was drafted, could not throw strikes, but a lot of credit goes to the Oakland Athletics. Working with A.J. Puck, he has learned to throw better strikes, and I think he's going to be good, and I applaud Tim for drafting him on a number of his teams. I think he's going to be well rewarded for that. Throw 100 miles an hour, even harder than that. He could come up as a reliever. He's had some dominating performances this spring and then gotten lit up this spring. And that's the definition of a 21-year-old pitcher with really good stuff, but sometimes can't find the plate. Do we see a lot of Michael Kopech? I do. I think we see him in the second half. But I also say I think he has a 450-plus ERA. It's not a guy that I like a lot this year. Talk to me again in 2019, 2020. This, to me, is a better version, a more predictable version of like a Tyler Glasnow, who I was deeply concerned about when you know, when he was coming through the minor leagues, as everybody knows, he was on my Mount Rushmore of pitching, and I still like the kid a lot, but I always worried, given his size, that he would struggle to establish himself, and that's been the case. There's people who have given up on a lot of my followers on Twitter have given up on him. They think that he's a long reliever. He's shown flashes this spring of doing what he's always done. And if he can control his stuff gets guys out, it's swing and miss stuff. It's just going to take him time to learn to throw strikes and to get that coordination working. And while he is athletic, he's not Alex Reyes athletic, which is a super athletic. So, it's just going to take some time. So that's again, my thinking continues on Tyler Glasnow. Michael Kopech is a different kind of player, though. Next on the list is Willie Adames. Welcome to Tampa Bay, Willie Adames. You will be up the middle of June, not any earlier than that. We know the drill. The kid can hit, got a little speed, got a little power, 20-20 power speed combination there. Long-term, I really like this guy. I think he's a nice player. Just know you probably want to grab him from a fab standpoint, right about the middle to end of May. Don't wait too long, because he will be up June 20th or whatever the date the Super 2 status is over. That's just the way, and it's very frustrating the way the Tampa Bay Rays play. Jake Bowers is another kid who can really, really hit, not a lot of power. Stole a lot of bases last year. I don't know where that came from, but I've seen him play. He has average at best speed. But again, you like Jake Bowers, you want him on your team as an outfielder, same kind of deal. And I think he will play, and I know he will hit. One guy that I always have liked a lot is Franklin Barreto. I'm actually surprised that he's already been demoted. I thought he would see he had a chance to break camp. They've got middle infielders, you know, there in Oakland, and I think that's been the struggle for him. Is how does he break that? But I think Billy Beane will be moving some of those guys that kind of make room for Franklin Barreto, because I think he is the long term answer at shortstop for them, because I think he's a natural shortstop. If not, I think he could definitely move over to the second base. But they got Marcus Semien there, you got Jed Lowrie up the middle, so something's going to happen there. I think Jed Lowrie eventually gets moved. I mean, he's a classic Billy Beane guy. You keep on your team and you move him at the deadline. I think that's when you see Franklin Barreto. You see him earlier if there is an injury there. Jorge Mateo, speed is what it's all about. Watch the waiver wire. Watch the news reports. If he gets called up, you want to jump on him, because he's going to provide instant speed. If you're in a rotisserie league, you're going to need those stolen bases. So he's a guy to be jumping on. Anthony Alford, I think, is injured. I'm going to see him for a while. I've always liked Anthony Alford. Very, very athletic. I know the great Alan Servinus is a huge Anthony Alford fan, former football player, just learning how to play baseball. Been injured a lot the last season or two. So if he can stay healthy, I think there's a lot to like there. Guys who are blocked just need help. Kyle Tucker, already been demoted. We'll see him at some point over the season. But, you know, I heard an interview with A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, and both said, look, you know, we have a really good team. We have quality players at each position. The guys in the minor leagues know that that's the situation. And Kyle Tucker, for as talented as he is he going to break into the outfield? Josh Reddick is a veteran that's out there. I guess if he struggles with the bat, there's a chance he gets replaced. Not going to replace Springer in center field. You got Julio Gurriel and you know, playing all over the field. And potentially Derek Fisher out in left field. At least I think he still has a chance to start in left field. Eloy Jimenez, this kid can really hit. This kid gets tons of power. I think he spends the entire year in double A and triple A. I just think they're going to marinate him for another year. And Miguel Andujar, we've talked about. Sleepers, not a ton of great sleepers in the American League. Hunter Dozier, is probably going to get a lot of playing time at first base. Ryan O'Hearn's a chance to be a first base in Kansas City. I know Mike Moustakas is going to get a little bit of first base time, but I think there's opportunities for Ryan O'Hearn in the outfield and Hunter Dozier either at first. He's played a little bit of third base a couple of years ago. I think he's primarily moving to first base. And then there's Hunter Harvey. Hunter Harvey, I've always loved. The kid has never been able to stay healthy. He's now had Tommy John surgery. I wish he would have, I mean, in hindsight, it would have been helpful for him to have gotten the surgery earlier than he did. But, hey, you can't fault him for at least trying to rehab his way through it. Didn't work. He had Tommy John surgery. Now he is supposedly healthy. Stuff is great. And I think you see him sometime this year, probably in the bullpen. I think he'll follow the Dylan Bundy kind of approach. When the Orioles brought him up, they brought Bundy up as a bullpen arm and eventually moved into the starting rotation. So whether Harvey is actually a sleeper for this year or not, or just a sleeper, I don't want people forgetting about Hunter Harvey because I still think the upside is pretty significant. So I just like the player a lot. And he needs to stay healthy. And I think if he does, I think the arm is still special. So that's it. Those are, what, 30, 35 rookies? You know, there is every year there's you keep thinking these rookies aren't going to be the Chris Bryants of the world, the impact guys, but there's some impact guys. I mean, Shohei Ohtani I'm scared to death of him. He has a chance to be an impact performer. Lewis Brinson has a chance to be an impact performer. Ronald Acuna has a chance to be – you know, number one, top 15 fantasy player. I mean, it's speed and power. A kid can hit. I mean, you hate to even use the word Mike Trout, but damn, right? I mean, it's not Mike Trout. It's fair to put any of that ceiling on him, but geez Louise. I mean, the kid has done nothing but look like Mike Trout. I'm sorry. I'm saying he's looked like Mike Trout. And, Tim and I were saying, boy, it was a risk to take him that high in drafts, and we might look really foolish. Still was a risk to take him that high, but it's a chance to be an impact performer. So this year, again, there are guys that have a chance to be impact performers. Ryan McMahon has a chance to hit 30-plus home runs. There are rookies out there that are going to make differences in your fantasy team, and hopefully I've been able to shed a little bit of light. Some of those guys that you might want to add to your team. For those of you who don't like to read, don't go out to my site because many of you ask me the same questions that you can find all the information out on my site, at least what I think about players. But here it is in narrative form. Hopefully I've been able to help you kind of think through some of that. If you have any questions, of course, you can reach me at Rich Wilson P361, at Rich Wilson P361. We'll probably catch you guys on Sunday, Tim, the sleeper show. It'll be a lot of fun. Until then, have a great week.